Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me be strong, the Father's supply. Let us pray. Father, once again, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the day. We thank you and praise you for the age that we live in, Lord. We thank you for the privilege that we have to walk in the light of this day, Lord, to be caught up in this great revelation, to be caught up into heavenly places, to be caught up, Lord, into the presence of the living God. Lord, to walk with you daily. Lord, to know you and the power of your resurrection, Lord, for it's living in your bride, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you, we praise you, and we lift up your lovely name. We thank you for the songs, the praises that have been given up, Lord, to your lovely name. We ask you would just take the furtherance of the service now, that you would speak to our hearts as we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated. We just greet you in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here. And I just sent the quotes out, and I just, as soon as I sent them out, I added a scripture. And so, if you have a way, in Ephesians, I'm going to read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, down about 10 or so verses there. And I told you on Sunday that I had some things that I had my message already put together. And so, I have one of those quotes. And all the rest of that just changed in the last 30 minutes. And so, but I still have them there, and I think I'll get to them eventually, but I'm going to go just a little bit different way than I had planned. So, beginning at Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So, he's talking to a certain group of people. He's talking to the predestinated seed. Okay? Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now he's telling us that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Amen. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. I'm going to read that again. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his great pleasure, to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now this could be applied to every age. Amen. In Noah's day, he revealed the mystery of his will, yes, to the children of that age. Amen. And Brother Branham said that there was only eight that believed it. And he said that's all that was foreordained. That was all that was predestinated for that day and that age, yes, was just those eight. Amen. So all the seed in Noah's day heard the truth. All the seed in Noah's day, they believed it. They received it. See, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which were in heaven and which were on earth, even in him. So he's talking about here a climax in that day. Amen. And there was a climax. It had been building for thousands of years, the revelation, the unfolding of God himself becoming known to the people, then there it was, comes to a climax in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of the written word. And excuse me, this cold still lingering now for over a week, but we thank God. 111 now, this is in the Message Conference. This is in 1963. This is just after the seals. And Brother Random makes some statements here. I want actually a brother shared this with me, and I wanted to put it out there. And I'm trying my best to bring both sides of what I'm talking about here. And we are on the climax, but on the climax age, but we're talking about right now, we're talking about this predestination. And it is a part of the climax of the revelation of this day. Yes. It's the climax of the revelation of predestination, amen, of free moral agency. It is the climax of all the ages, all from the very beginning until this time. Amen. Brother Adam said, this is the climax age because it's the climax of all things. It's God coming to fulfill all that was promised. And so in the unveiling of God, Brother Branham said, the veil has been taken off of God. And now you can see Him clearly. He's clearly, plainly before us, because now He is the openly manifested, revealed Word for this day. And so He's in His fullness, in His glory, revealed Himself in this day. And so that's a great thing. Because in the beginning there was nothing but God, and in God was attributes. His attribute to be a Savior. See? And we know it is. He is a Savior. And that was in Him. So that attribute was in God. It was something that had to be manifested. And so there was no way around it, because that was the very nature of God. That was the very essence of God. That was the very character of God, that He was going to manifest His attributes. Yes. And so whatever it was that was in Him, it had to be expressed. Yes. And so some of the quotes that I was going to read, I'm not reading today, and I keep referring back to, and that's where Brother Branham was talking about the eternal thoughts of God. And he said, the thoughts of God are eternal. And he said, they're not like a contractor that has a set of blueprints that one day is going to be made substance. He said, no. He said, they are already substance. The thoughts of God. Now, they're already substance. They're already real. They're already eternal. He said, are the thoughts of God eternal? He said, if you can see this, you will see many things. When you can come to the realization that the thoughts of God are eternal, then you can begin to understand many of the things that the prophet's saying. That's why he said that seed was always in there. You are always a part of Him. You don't become a son of God. You're not just saved on any day. You always was saved. Is that the revelation? Is that the Word of God? It is. You always was saved. What happened was you were put in this flesh, born with the nature of the world, and so you came into the world not knowing that seed had to come to manifestation. So you now were living in a veil of flesh, and you didn't know who God was. You didn't know what truth was, and it didn't matter whether you were raised in the church or you weren't raised in the church. There had to come a time that God come down and quickened that seed that was in you. No matter how religious you were, no matter how much knowledge you had of the Bible, how much knowledge you had of the history of the Bible, of God, your father was a preacher, your mother was a preacher, your brother and sister was preachers, everybody in your family was a preacher, and you heard nothing but the Word of God your whole life. But you didn't know until you were born again by the word of this day. Amen. And when He come on the scene, in His attributes that was predestinated for this day. If you would have lived in Noah's day, you would have been working on the ark.
Yes, sir.
Because that would have been the attribute of every seed of God in that day.
Amen.
And that's what you would have done. There would have just been something inside of you that you would have seen then, and your first impression would have been, this is crazy. Everybody's laughing. I've heard all the stories. And then God would anoint that seed in you,
yes,
and you would say, it's real. It's real. I believe what that man is saying.
Amen.
And you couldn't do that on your own. You couldn't do it with your intellect. You couldn't do it with your mind. God had to quicken it.
Yes, sir.
And no matter how many people sympathized with Noah, how many people thought, well, you know, this could be. This guy's pretty serious. I mean, you know, after 119 years,
yes,
you know, he only had 1 year left and he's almost done. It had to cross people's minds.
Yes.
That, you know, this boat is almost finished. And this guy is now collecting crops. He's getting straw and food and grains and stuff to feed these animals. And he's starting to collect these animals and stuff. This thing is really getting serious now. And they're wondering. And so no matter how serious it become, how close it become, how much they thought that this was the real deal, that was not a reality except to the ones God revealed it to.
That's right. That's right.
And so is it in this last day.
Yes, sir.
God sent a prophet on the scene. And I can remember when I first became a Christian, I was working in a plywood plant down in Florida, in Chiefland, Florida. And there was a girl there, and she was listening. She had been listening to one of these preachers. I think it was A.A. Allen. I can't remember now. But I know Brother Branham had talked about the man. And so she was saying he was a prophet. And I'm saying, well, and so it's hard to witness to somebody and tell them God sent a prophet when they already have a prophet. And so that's where the Mormons are. You know, they have a prophet too. They have their prophet and they believe what he said. And so then, you know, you have a challenge because what are you going to do? You're going to tear down their prophet and lift up your prophet, and then what are they going to think? There's only one way it's going to work, and that is it's got to be based on the Word. And when it's based on the Word, then if the seed is in there, then God is going to quicken the seed. And if He quickens the seed, then they're going to see the true prophet, and they're going to come out of whatever they're in. And so, but the criticism and tearing them up is not going to do it. It's going to take revelation. And so the best way to approach it is just give them the Word. Just give them the Word. So he's saying here that in God was attributes, His attribute to be a Savior. And we know it's so. He is a Savior. And that was in Him. So these eternal thoughts of God was to be a Savior, was to be a healer, was to be a King, was to be a Father, was to be all of those things now. And so that's what He was already. He already was. But it had not come to manifestation. And so the only way that it could come to manifestation was for somebody to be lost.
That's right.
The attribute was already there. And it was going to happen one way or the other. Because it was the eternal thought of God. And so that thing, there's no way that it could not take place. But now there had to be somebody lost. So God couldn't just make them lost and then turn around and save them and say, now I'm a Savior.
Amen.
No, there had to be a fall. There had to be a way for this thing to take place. And then He could have a way to save them.
Yes, sir.
So there He was. In Him was attributes to be a Father, and there was nothing that He could father. Huh? So He had that dilemma from the very beginning. There wasn't even anybody. It was just the eternal Spirit. So how could He be a Father? He had to have a Son. And so then comes forth the Son, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Logos came out of God, and that was the Son of God.
Amen.
That was the Son of God, Brother Branham said, in the Theophany. So there He was manifested now, waiting to be in flesh thousands of years into the future. maybe billions of years into the future. Brother Man said it could have been billions, and that's what he said. He said, let's go back billions and billions and billions and billions and just keep going back.
Yes.
See? We don't know how long that time was. Yeah. We talk about the earth 6,000 years, and that's where they get confused. They talk about the earth and there's man back there so many millions of years and animals so many millions of years. That's not according to the scripture.
That's right.
But how long the earth was there, how long the rest of it was there, we don't know.
Amen.
Doesn't say that.
Right.
So just say what the word says and leave it.
Amen.
So he is a savior. He is a savior, and that was in him. And there was nothing lost to be saved. In him was attributes to be a father. There was nothing that he could father. In him was attributes to be a healer. There was nothing lost, nothing sick. So the only thing that he could do was make man on the basis of free moral agency, knowing that he would do it, knowing that man was going to fall. So God made man, and you think about this, this is a really complex, I mean, you take everything about God and it's just marvelous. If you study the human body, it's just an amazing feat of what the body does and how it produces the blood cells and how the whole body works in unison and the things that it does. And so all of that is amazing. And so every aspect of what God has done and is doing is the same way. But to think that there's how many billions of people on the earth today, and every one of them are on free moral agency. And every one of those people are making their own decisions every day. That's what you do every day. You get up. And you as soon as you wake up, you start making decisions. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
You make that decision. And a lot of times you're basing it on the clock. You look at the clock, say, I got this much time and I have to be at work. And so then you make a decision. I'm going to sleep 5 more minutes. I'm going to lay here 10 more minutes. You lay there 5 more and then you say, man, I just 5 more. Until you come to that point that you actually have to jump up and hurry up. And rush to the shower and rush to get yourself ready and rush to get out the door and do what you're going to do. Make your lunch, whatever you're going to do. You're making decisions. See? And then maybe one morning you just wake up feeling so good and you get up an hour early and you get it all together and you're sitting there waiting for the clock to tick away for time to leave. You're making decisions. And when you start as a young person, you hear the word of God, you're making decisions. And a lot of times you hear that old saying, say, well, I'm too young. I'll do it when I get older. I'll do it this. Always putting it off. You know, Brother Branham said that's the devil.
Yes, sir.
Brother Branham said that's a spirit that gets on people. And he said it makes them put it off till later. He said that is a demon spirit that comes on the people. But when God draws you, think about this now. When God draws you and he says you cannot come unless he draws you.
That's right. Yes, sir.
So if he's the one who has to draw you, then he puts something in there that is going to encourage your decision making. Is that fair?
Yes, sir.
That fair? Those scriptures have to go together.
Amen.
You can't just say you're making the decisions. You're doing it all. And what's what he's fixing to say here? You're making all the decisions and then say you can't come unless he draws you. And then for him to say that you did not choose him. So he puts that on you. He starts drawing you. And all of a sudden in your mind, you're thinking, I want God. I'm going to do this. I'm seeking God. I'm going after God. And then Brother Branham says, you say, I sought God. I came to God. Brother Branham said, not according to the word of God you didn't. The word of God says that he chose you and that he drawed you and that he put that desire in you to want him.
That's right.
So now these things have to go together. You can't just say one side. You can't just say, no, it's all free moral agency. You just say all deciding. Huh? And then say, no, it's you can't do anything. It's all him choosing you. It has to come together. So the only thing he could do was make man on the basis of free moral agency, knowing that he would do it, knowing the man, knowing what the man would do. How did he say? What did he say? He said that predestination. Now he said that's a bad word to use in a mixed audience, and he said, but God, by his foreknowledge, he knew who would and who wouldn't. So he said it's not as that he predestinated them, predetermined that, or chose this one and didn't choose that one. No, but that he knew who would.
Yes,
sir. Well, how did he know it?
That's
my question. How did he know it? Huh? You know, it becomes a pretty chaotic thing when you think that there's billions of people in the world and everyone are making their own decisions and doing their own thing, and then God is coming behind them and just picking up the pieces and making it work to his glory and his honor. Because that's also the scripture, right?
Yep. Yes.
That all things work to his glory and his honor. That he didn't want this to happen. He didn't want you to do this. But yet, he makes it work for his glory and honor. And remember now, he's got billions of people. That's been doing this since the beginning of time. And now he's making it all work for his glory and honor.
Amen.
Listen to this. So the only thing he could do, let's see, knowing he would do it, God didn't do it himself. Man done it himself. Is that right? Man done it himself. What did man do? He failed. He disbelieved the word of God. He doubted the word of God. He rejected the word of God. Is that fair? That's what the word says.
Yes, sir.
So here was a man who was created in the image of God.
Yes,
and through this fall, the scripture and the prophets declare that this man was never deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yes,
never deceived.
Right.
He was not deceived. He walked out knowing what he was doing.
Amen.
So his decision was not based on deception.
Correct.
His decision was based on what he knew.
Yes.
That fair?
Yes, sir.
It's on what he knew. Brother Branham said he knew what he was doing.
Yep.
He knew that he was throwing the whole world into sin. He knew that he was throwing the world into death.
Yes.
But he was not going to let his wife be destroyed. To die.
Yes, sir.
He was going to take her. He was going to take her. And he took her because she was a part of him.
Amen.
And so that was the same love that Christ had for the bride.
Yes, sir.
For his children. All of them.
Amen.
And so Brother Branham said that, and I already mentioned this. Brother Branham said that Adam was a perfect type of Christ. And Brother Branham said that Adam was a type of the lukewarm, carnal church. Now, what a contrast. What a contrast. Here he is, a perfect type of Jesus Christ. He gives his life for his bride. Huh?
Yes, sir.
But by rejecting the word, he was the perfect type of the carnal church. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And the same thing when we reject. The same thing when we go away from the word. We're the same thing. We're a type of the church. But when we are fulfilling according to the seed, the life that's in us, then that is expressing Jesus Christ in veils of flesh. And that's what the bride, the elect, is called to do.
Amen.
In every age. In every age. And that's what he said. He said it was Christ in Adam. It was Christ in Jeremiah. It was Christ in Moses. It was Christ in Noah. Every time. It was Jesus Christ, the life of God, living in those men, to speak. God took over those vessels and began to speak and to manifest in types and shadows and in different ways to bring forth the word of their age.
Amen.
And that word was building and building. In every age, it come to a climax. And then it began building and building. It come to a climax. Over and over and over. Until now, we've come to the climax of all of it all together now in this last day.
Amen.
So now he's saying, man done it himself. Which is a interesting statement. And if you're going to take that statement literally and just leave it like that and bring nothing else and put none of the rest of it together with it, then you're not going to have the full picture. That's all. I don't know how else to say it. You're not going to have the full picture. But man failed, and Satan had a part in it. And so let's just read. This is, and you're the same way this morning. You can accept life or turn it down. But God made man thus, knowing he would do it, not willing that he should do it, but knowing he would do it, that it would display his attributes.
Amen.
Now, he said that God made that man thus. So, knowing that he would do it. Not that he wanted him to do it, but knowing that he would do it. Now, that's a fine line, isn't it? Because he has an attribute in him that he's the Savior, and he's a healer, and he's a father, and he's a husband. And he has all these attributes that he's going to display, that have to be displayed because they are eternal attributes. They are part of his eternal thinking. And so now they have to come to pass. They have to be manifested because they're in him. And nothing, they're already real. They're already substance. They're just waiting for the day, the age, the time, the person that they can be manifested in.
Amen.
See, knowing he would do it, not willing that he should do it, but knowing he would do it, that it would display his attributes. That's right. So there's nothing out of time. Everything's ticking just exactly according to man's great timepiece. Is that what it said?
No.
Whose timepiece? Whose great plan?
God.
God's great plan.
Amen.
God has a plan.
Yep.
God planned this thing from the beginning.
Yes, sir.
Before the beginning. He planned it. And in his plan is ticking every day.
Amen.
Every day. He knew before the foundation of the world. If you were going to be that person that jumped out of bed in the morning, or you were that person that was going to fight for one more minute. He knew it. He knew what type of person you're going to be. He knew your personality.
Amen.
He just...
Yes, sir. Amen.
My wife gives me... She don't give me a hard time, but she's not a morning person. And she told me the other morning, she said, I just don't understand how you just wake up happy. You just wake up talking. You just wake up moving. She said, I just don't understand it. I don't know. And that's why I know that the scripture says to... don't let the sun go down. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. But I'm that person. I don't want to get into an argument at night because I'm not going to. We'll settle it in the morning. I'll wake you up in the morning. We'll talk about it some more. I'm not staying up all night and argue. I'm not at my best. I'm now at bedtime how you were in the morning when you woke up, and so that's. There's just a difference. We're made up difference. God's the one who did it.
Yes.
He planned it. And he bred this one to that one and this one to that one to get to you.
Yes.
So everything about you is special made from God. And he, whatever nationality you are, whatever it mixed with from different nationalities back there, and this it's been mixing for thousands of years.
Amen.
And so... We like to think it's all pure, but it's not all pure. There's some. It's just all mixed up, and so, but God knows, He knows who's His. That's what he said about the 12 tribes. He said, they don't know which tribe they're from. He's talking about Israel. He said, they don't know, but God knows.
That's right.
He never lost track.
Yes, sir.
He doesn't lose track. And back there when he was breeding this one to this one and this one to this one, they were coming from different countries and everything. And he was looking at you.
Yes.
He was looking down the road at you.
Amen.
Knowing just what he wanted you to be. And it was going to shape everything about you. It was going to shape you before you were born again. It was going to shape you after you were born again.
That's right.
It was going to be a part. And he was going to use that to his glory and to his honor.
Amen.
See? And this only displays his attributes. To select his children who really love him. I want to read it again. Everything is ticking just exactly according to God's great timepiece. See? And this only displays his attributes to select his children who really love him and believe him. And every man has an equal right. So, did Cain have an equal right? God told him, said, just do what your brother did.
That's right.
Just do what your brother did and you'll be saved. I'll accept it. I'll accept your sacrifice if you will do what your brother did. What was the difference in those two boys? They both had a desire to worship. Why? Because God made man that way. God made all man, whether they were sons of God or not sons of God. He made them to have a desire. That's built in. Those attributes that God had to be a savior, to be a healer, to be a father, he put attributes in you to make you want to worship something.
Amen.
You can't help it. You're going to worship something. You say, oh, I don't. I don't believe in God. You worship something.
Yes, sir.
You may not even recognize it. You might not even know what it is that you idolize. That thing that is more important to you than anything else.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you do. You can't help it. You go back into the deepest, darkest jungles and they're worshiping something.
Yes, sir.
They say when they went to Alaska and those Eskimos up there, they didn't know nothing about God. Said they had took these trees, and they called them totem poles. And they carved those things out, and they made gods out of them.
That's right.
And Paul talked about in the scripture there, they had all these inscriptions to all these different gods. And then in case they forgot one or they missed one, they said to the unknown God.
Yeah.
And Paul said, that's the one I'm bringing to you, the one you don't know.
Yeah.
And he's the only true and living God that there is.
Amen.
Praise be to God. See? Listen, he says, this only displays his attributes to select his children who really love him and believe him. And every man has an equal right. Now, how is it that you love him? How is it that you want him? It's because he called you. Because he chose you. Because he put that desire in there. God being infinite, knew from the beginning what would be and what wouldn't be. So therefore, he wasn't willing. See, that any. We know the ending to that. He wasn't willing that any should be lost. He didn't want anybody to be lost. He died for all. That all would come. And he preached it just like that. And he preached healing just like that. And then one day he comes as he's revealing those secrets to his wife. And he says, now we preach salvation like it's for everybody. But we know it's not. We preach healing like it's for everybody. But we know it's not. Why do we know it's not? Why isn't it? Why isn't it that it's not for everybody? That's the question. It has to be more than just people making decisions.
Amen.
There has to be a driving force there. And that driving force, God put in there before the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
That is that seed of God. And Cain didn't have it.
Amen.
He didn't have it, and he couldn't change that nature that he had. And that nature that he had was rebellious.
Yes, sir.
And the difference is now, since we now have the new birth, they all the way through, they were born with the nature of the world. But God was quickening the word to the age.
Amen.
They had a seed. There was the natural seed, there was the children of God, and there was those that weren't. But God put a seed in there that would be quickened to receive the word of their day. And that's what they received, every one of them. In Moses' day, they had 2 million people come out, and two of the original ones were the only two that could believe everything that he said. The only two that believed that God gave them the promise, that what God had promised. No matter how much natural seed was the children of God, because there was two seeds on the earth.
Yes, sir.
There was Cain's seed, and there was Adam's seed.
Amen.
And so Cain's seed got wiped out in the flood. That was the purpose of the flood.
Yes, sir.
And so when Cain's seed went off the scene, then what happened? Then here comes the natural seed, and we start having these twins being born. Then we have Esau and Jacob, brothers. And they're, one of them is the seed of God and one of them's not, but they both have holy parents and they both come from Adam. And it just kept coming down, coming down, coming down. Until everybody was from the natural seed. They were from Adam's race because that's all that was left on the earth. But now it was showing that it never was the natural that mattered. It was the spiritual seed. It was the spiritual seed that mattered. And so that spiritual seed was that which was hiding on the inside, which they couldn't see. That's what they can't see. See? Now, so therefore he could say that he would have a church without spot or wrinkle. I'm sorry, let me back up. But being infinite, he'd have to know. So therefore he could say that he would have a church without spot or wrinkle. Because he knew he would have it. He is God. That's right. Now, in the message, pommel worm, locust, and canker worm. Paragraph 89. Now, why did he ever let a sinner come? He had to let a sinner come for the purpose of him being a savior. Why did a sinner come? Why was the fall? Because God's attribute was that he was a savior. And somebody was going to have to be lost.
Amen.
He's greater than a sin.
Amen.
Wouldn't had to be a sin. He wouldn't had to let Satan make the first sin. See? But the reason Satan created the first sin or perverted the righteousness to sin, the reason he did it, so God could be a savior.
Yes, sir.
He let the man get sick because he's a healer. See? Why did Satan do what he done? Because God's attribute was to be a savior, to be a healer, to be a father, to be all of those things.
Yes.
Now, he made a son so he could be a father. He promised to have a bride, a wife, so he could be a husband. He promised these things.
Amen.
And he has to be just, see? He has to put the tree of life and the tree of death before every man, like he did Adam and Eve. Or he did wrong when he put it before Adam and Eve. Now it's up to you. That's what he said. That's what he said a while ago. It wasn't God did it. It was you that did it. It was you. It was your decision making. Is that right?
Amen.
Spoken words, original seed. Did we choose him? Oh, Brother Branham, I beg your pardon. I did. No, you, according to the word, you didn't.
That's right.
What's this doing to your free moral agency now?
Yes, sir.
And I'm not, I hope I'm not confusing anybody.
No,
I hope I'm not confusing you. And I've already been questioned up and down from outside. And I'm not trying to make it sound that what Brother Branham said, God couldn't make Adam fall and be just. I'm not trying to say that's what he did. But what I'm saying is that God made all the circumstances. He made the woman the only female in all of creation that could do what she could do, and the only purpose that was a benefit of that was so she could fall.
Nope.
Otherwise, she would have been like other animals. She's the only one that could have a relationship with man anytime that she wanted. Yeah. Absolutely anytime. She was, when she was taken from the man, now the man was in the image of God, but now a part of the man's taken out, and now she becomes the weaker vessel. And so because of that fact, she's now can be easily deceived. And that's exactly what Satan did. He took advantage of that. And now she's the only female that was not in the original creation. The only one. Everything else was in the original. So that's why that a female dog cannot commit adultery. No, she's going to have relationship only for her babies. And when once the womb is sealed and she has that seed, a dog can't touch her. That male cannot come to her. She's done. It's only for her babies. See? But a woman's different. See? She's made like that so that she could do wrong. So she has to now make a choice. Is that right? She has to make the choice. A woman makes the choice. Rather, she's going to hold herself to her husband and to God, or rather, she is going to be a bad woman. Amen. So, there's your free moral agency. She's making that decision. Yes. Now, God, let's just say it like this, if I can give this example, okay? If you, when you're raising your children and you want them to succeed in life, right? You want them to have a good education. You want them to teach them something that's going to help them to make a living and to support themselves and their families as they get older and they get married. All of your decisions that you're making them around your family. Is that right? And as much as you love everybody else, and you want everybody else to do good and to succeed and everything else, you're concerned about yours. Is that fair?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it really is fair. Because we really can show our favoritism when it comes to our children. We can put up with more from our children or our grandchildren than we can from other people. For some reason, I watched this, and when you know something's there and you know it's wrong on our part, then you try to work on it in your life. And let me say, I've tried to work on it, and I've tried to. But I've seen mothers that have children or grandchildren, and they can do anything, and it don't bother them. And as soon as somebody else's child does that exact same thing, or not even as bad, it irritates them to no end. Is that right? You're laughing. I think all of you know. You know. See? And so that's where we as Christians, we have to mark that thing, and we have to guard that place, and make sure we remember, you know what? That's that same love that I had for mine. The reason I treated mine like that is because I had that feeling for them.
Yeah.
And that mother has that feeling for hers.
Right. Yeah.
And so I can remember back, way back.
Yeah.
And when there were just young kids all over the place. And I'd look at some of them just running wild. And I'm thinking, man, what are they doing? And then I'm thinking, well, just go look at yours. You know, just go look at yours and see what they're doing. It's just, and so... But we have that responsibility. But my point is this. I don't mean to get off on that. But the point is this. I'm going to go out of my way to give my children every advantage. Okay? If I can help somebody else, fine. But mine are going to be first. Yours are going to be first.
Yes, sir.
Okay? I'm not sweating what Sister Emily is getting them to school every day. I know she is. because she wants them to have an education. She wants them to learn. She wants them to be on top of things. Sister Rebecca for Cameron, making sure that he learns, that he knows. And the number one thing is not that learning out there, but it's this learning right here. That's the number one thing we want them to have. And so you, as much as you want all of the children to have the same thing, your responsibility is to this one right here. And that's exactly where God's at. God's exactly where God's at.
Amen.
God's children are the ones he's concerned about.
Yes, sir.
And God's children are the ones he put his seed in,
that's right,
before the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
And now you turn it any way you want to turn it. You turn it any way you want to turn it now. Now that we've come all of this time and from Christ, when the new birth takes place. Okay, before, when the new birth takes place, you now have the nature of God. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
You now have the mind of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Is that true? That's true. Now I'm asking you this question. I'm just trying to make this make sense. Okay, because we're taking one side, we're taking both sides, and we're just trying to put them both together and see where it puts us.
Yes, sir.
So, when you come into the world, you're born with the nature of Satan. And so that nature is affecting your decisions.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
It's affecting the decisions you make.
Yes, sir.
You may or may not go to church. You may or may not fear God. You may or may not care about religion or Christ or knowing truth or knowing anything else. You may or you may not. But after you've been born again, you do.
Yes.
And why? Why is it now? Why is what you were under that nature, it might not, it wasn't as important. But now it is. Now it's life and death.
Yes, sir.
Brother Branham said, now it's more important than the food that you eat.
Yes, sir.
So, why? Because now it's Christ in you. You were born with the nature of Satan. It was Satan.
Yes, sir.
So, is it fair to say that decisions I was making under that nature, my free moral agency, was being based on that nature that I had? And when I'm born again, now Christ is living in me. Now it's the soul of God living in me. Now the free moral agency I have, the decisions that I'm making now, are based on the Word of God.
Amen.
Your whole life, that's what it's based on.
Yep.
And it doesn't mean you don't make wrong decisions.
Right.
You're still in this flesh. But the nature you have now, your desire now, is to the Word.
Amen.
You don't, remember, you're not in your theophany.
That's right.
Once you get in your theophany, you will know all things.
Yep.
Now, the Spirit of Christ is in you, the Word of God is in you, you're being led by the Spirit. Okay, and that, when you're born again, you're a babe. Is that right? So you're growing. You don't get it all. You don't get it all overnight. You don't know everything overnight. And you're not going to know everything until you get in that theophany.
That's right.
So that's all that I just said. It's all the Word. It's all the Word of God. It's all the message.
Amen.
You know that.
Yes.
And so then that thing, that thing that's leading you now, those decisions that you're making now is because Christ is in you. Whereas he wasn't. But now he is. So you can't tell me that it doesn't have an effect.
Amen.
So both the non-born again and the born again, the non-seed and the seed, both of them are on free moral agency and both of them are making their decisions every day.
Yes.
Every day you're making your decision. Now, you say, I chose him. No, according to the Word, you didn't. Jesus said, you never chose me, I chose you.
Amen.
Oh yeah. When did he choose you? When did Jesus say he chose you? Chose his church? Before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
According as he has chosen us in him, at the last revival that Dr. So-and-so preached? No. You might read that in the creed or a textbook or in the Catholic book or the Baptist book or some other book. As I told you, that a lot of these big denominations, some of those preachers, they don't even have to make a message. They don't have to go here and do anything. They get it in the mail.
Yep. Yeah.
Headquarters yeah. produces a message and sends it out to all the churches.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know that all of them have to preach that message, but that's what they do. They encourage that.
Mm-hmm.
So that preacher, they give a theme for that preacher to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, where is it?
Amen.
Where is that in the scripture? Huh? What we got is coming from Him.
Amen.
And it's Him that's leading. It's Him that's guiding. See, according as, this is in the scripture now, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, when were we chosen at the last revival, the night we got saved? When there was no world. Huh? That's when. When there was no world, there was no earth, there was no stars, there was no molecules, there was no air, there was no nothing. That's when you were in Him then.
Amen.
See? No stars, no atoms, no molecules. That's when you were chosen. Amen. Oh, don't let me start preaching on that. I'm just trying to explain something here, see? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be, what, members? No. We should be, after we're saved, see, we just do as we want to? No. Huh? Where's your free moral agency after you're born again?
Amen.
You just do whatever you want to do? No, you're doing what He wants to do.
Amen.
Because it's Him in you making. It's Him in you pushing you, pushing you, pushing you.
Amen.
And He's wanting you to recognize that you are a son and a daughter of God. He's wanting you to recognize that He gave you the authority to speak the Word of God.
Right. Yes, sir.
He wants you in this veil of flesh that hinders you, that clouds the whole picture, that slows you down and put in and just makes it a little bit foggy sometime. But He wants that seed in you to keep growing and growing. And as you get in the Word and are anointed by the Spirit, that thing gets greater and greater.
Yes.
Until you find yourself going from crying and crying, Lord, I want this, I need this, I want that, like Moses was crying for it. You find yourself beginning to speak the Word.
Yes.
You find yourself not crying so much.
Amen.
What's the difference between a child? When they want something, they just fuss and whine and carry on. But as you get older, you realize that's not the way to get it.
Amen.
You realize that I can do this.
Yeah.
I can do this.
Yes, sir.
I believe it. I've seen it.
Amen.
I've seen it happen. All through the Bible, all through the message. In this day, I've seen it.
Yes, sir.
I know that the Word is true. It's been revealed to me. And you begin to speak it.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Brother Ben said, oh, that feeling when you know that it's became real to you. When He lets you know it's yours. All you got to do is claim it. All you got to do is believe it.
Amen.
Chosen before the foundation of the world. Paragraph 250. Members. We should, after we're saved, we just do as we want to? No, I'm sorry, I know I'm repeating and I need to move. 251, membership. No, it's love, ain't it? That's right. All right, in love, excuse me, I'm just cutting up. Please see, you know he's just throwing it out there. All right. Having what? Predestinated. Oh, predestinated us unto the adoption of children. The seed from the beginning, see, of children of Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, I want to remind you something that's part of the revelation, and that is that one of the things that we learned, and you should really be thinking about the difference of what you know today and what they knew just 100 years ago. Because from Pentecost, they gained a lot, but they were actually losing it for the next 2,000 years until the seventh church age, and then it was restored back.
Yeah.
But there's so much they had, we had no clue. And there were so many intellectual ideas that was placed in there through the seven church ages.
Amen.
And so one of the things that the prophet is telling us or has told us is that you did not get saved on any day. That idea of that just one day now, you made the right decision and you did this and God come down and now he's given you eternal life. That's not what he said. He said you was in him before the foundation of the world. That choice was made before the foundation of the world. And he put the seed in there before the foundation of the world. And I don't care what science says. I don't care what anybody else says. If he says I was in my great, 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 great grandfather, then that's where I was.
Amen.
I was in there.
Yes, sir.
And if he says I was in Christ before the foundation of the world, before there was a world, before there was anything, that's where I was.
Yes, sir.
I don't have to have a scientific explanation.
Amen.
I believe just what he said. So that spiritual seed was there in him, and there was something in that natural that was coming down. So if he was breeding this one to that one and this one to that one to get you, then there was something in every one of them that was coming down, coming down, coming down.
Yes, sir.
See? This predestinated us unto the adoption of children. The seed from the beginning.
Amen.
Now he's saying it. He's saying it. The seed from the beginning. Another revelation. You did not become seed by the rebirth.
That's right.
You always was seed.
Yes.
Amen. You did not become a son of God.
That's right.
You always was a son of God.
Amen.
Or daughter of God.
That's right.
You did not become that. Amen. You always was that. That's the reason why you could be adopted. Because you always was.
Yes.
You were born not knowing who you were. So you had to grow in this thing. You had to be born in this thing.
Yes.
You had to have a spiritual birth.
Amen.
And by that spiritual birth, you recognize who your father was.
Yes, sir.
And he gave us the perfect example when he typed that eagle in the barnyard.
That's right.
That eagle, when it was born, had no idea.
That's right.
That it was any, there was no mirror.
Amen.
There was no mirror in the barnyard.
That's right.
And so he's looking at the rest of these guys and that's all that he thinks that he is.
Yes,
and he don't know any different. And that's the same thing that we were. We were born this way. And then one day, when that voice flew over and that voice screamed out,
amen.
What was it?
Yes, sir.
It was the mirror.
That's right.
He looked up and he seen himself.
Amen.
And he started looking at his wings and he started noticing his wings were different than their wings, but his wings was like those wings up there. And he realized that he didn't get that clucking just right the way they did it,
yes,
but he naturally wanted to scream like that one did.
Yes, sir.
It was the mirror of God's word. He's seen himself.
Amen.
And that's what happens when we come in the presence of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
when we come in the presence of the word of this day, there's something on the inside that God quickens that was put in there before the foundation of the world. You always was a son of God. You wasn't a pig and then become a son of God. You wasn't a goat and become a son of God. You always was a son of God.
Yes,
that's right.
Amen.
Praise be to God. See? The seed that was in there from the beginning. Okay, we're gonna read something just real quick. I'm not sure how. Okay, I think it's just maybe three or four paragraphs. Can you hold with me just a minute?
Amen.
All right. Paragraph 252, the spoken word is the original seed. Who did it? God. When did he do it? Before the foundation of the world. Now, just tell me something now. What did he say a while ago? Who did it? You did it. Man did it. God didn't do it. Yep. Now he's saying, who did it? God did it. Yep. You know, it's just like you can't separate God and Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can't. Amen. Now you can't separate the elected seed of God and God himself. Because there's only one form of eternal life.
Yes, sir.
They're one and the same thing.
Amen.
They're one and the same. Who did it? God. When did he do it? Before the foundation of the world. Then if we come in an illegitimate birth through Eve's corruption, making us all her children and subject to death, then the sovereign God has to make a way to redeem his children.
Amen.
And all the Father hath given me will come to me, see? And no man can come unless my Father draws him. Oh my. See, now where's your great big thing that you done? See? You never done nothing. You ought to be ashamed. God, who done all things, the wheel is working just right. Why? Because he planned it all out. He put it all together before the foundation of the world. Someone come the other day and said somebody said something bad about me and accusing me of something that was wrong. And I said, oh, just forget it. See? Somebody said to him, how can you take it like that? That involves your family. I said, oh my. I said, that was predestinated before the foundation of the world to give me a trial.
Yes, sir.
How about that?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Well, I'm thinking he's passing the trial. He's passing the trial. I said, oh my, sure. So that's all right, see? So said, how do you do it? I said, if I looked right down this way, I'd be falling all the time.
Amen.
All right, you remember the brother man talked about the little boy riding the bike?
Yeah.
And they had this plank. It was like just they put a board up and they made it go for a long ways and they put it up off the ground and they made it go for a long ways, and they let all these children, the young children, I think it was mostly boys, but I guess, I don't know who it was, but it was a boy. I'm trying to be politically correct here. So they just started going one after another, and so it just so happens the boy who won was kind of the geeky boy, and the more athletic boys fell off the board. And so they was like amazed, and they just come to him and they say, hey, how did you do it? You know? And we're, you know, you're not as coordinated as we are. You're not as athletic as we are. And he said, well, he said, I kept watching y'all. And he said, every one of you was looking down at the board. And he said, it was making you do this. And he said, I didn't look down at the board. He said, I looked down there. He said, I looked at the end just like if I was riding along on the road or on a sidewalk. He said, I just kept looking up there and said, I just went straight right down through there, right over the thing. That's what he's talking about.
Yes, sir.
He said, if you keep looking at these little trials and these little troubles and all these little problems, he said, you're just going to keep falling off the board.
Yep.
He said, but when you're looking down there, then it gets sweet.
Yes.
Then it gets, oh, just a little trial, just a little trial.
Praise.
See, that's the way with the people today. If I accept the truth of God's word, Brother Branham, they'd kick me out. Well, what are you looking here? What are you looking here for? Look out here at the end of the road. Good advice, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, good advice. See, a man who looks like this, he don't know where he's going, see? He's looking this way. But if you look out yonder, you don't care what's going on now. You know where you're going, see?
Amen.
That's it. You look where you're going. Stay lined up with the word. All right. See, predestinated us now according unto adoption. See? Now, do you believe we were predestinated?
Amen.
Now, was Jesus predestinated? Well, I like this. He was the Lamb of God, already slain before there was a light, before there was a meteor, before there was a molecule, an atom, anything, I'm sorry. He was the Son of God, slain. Oh, the greatness of God. I'm sorry, I'm trying to hurry and then it's just... See, 259. Then these little peanut brains out of some of these manufactured supernatural incubator over here tries to debate that and say it's not right. That's a shame. Who are you? Even some of them saying there's no hell. See? And you're sitting on a pot of it every day. Huh? They know. Science has proven it. The earth is storing up fire that once stored up water.
Right.
They know it. See? See? And you're sitting on a pot of it 8,000 miles thick, just below you, volcanic, and then look up and defy God and His Word. When you defy the Word, you're defying God.
Yeah.
See? Oh my, how great Thou art, Lord. How thankful we should be. That's right. So believers of the Word and Spirit must be one. You get it? See, believers, the Word and the Spirit are absolutely one, and you don't do your own thinking, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You don't use your own mind.
Amen.
That's wonderful. See, the mind was in Christ is in you. See, the mind is in Christ, and you'll take the Word just like He did. Because His mind is in you, you're going to make the same decisions He makes.
That's right.
The same desire. You don't want to do anything but what pleases the Father. That's your whole goal in life. To surrender yourself so that that you can receive the leading of God in all that you do and say.
Amen.
You're God's living Word. Representative, see? Oh, I missed one. And the mind of Christ in you, you are the Word. You're God's living Word, representatives of Him here on earth. That's right.
Amen.
Continuing the work.
That's right.
Praise be to God. That's what it said in Acts. All that Jesus did and continues to do.
Yes.
How's He doing it? In the bride. Amen. In His people, see? The church should be that way. And so the Bible is manifested again, like in the early days of the disciples. Just like the disciples. The Bible is living again in you. And I don't care how much people act like in these denominations say they're looking for Christ. Their actions prove they're not.
That's right.
That's right. Your actions speak louder than your words. All you're thinking about is making denominational members. But there are some people, one here and one there, that's looking for the coming of the Lord. They're watching for it. See? Only those will He reveal Himself to. Only those will understand.
Amen.
Only those.
Yep.
That seed of God is in there.
Right.
And that God is revealing Himself through.
Yes,
you can't put it all in the same boat. I'm not trying to take away from anything that the prophet has said.
Amen.
I've told you that early on when he said that word predestination is a bad word to use in a mixed audience, he said, really, it's foreknowledge. It's not that He predestinated, it's because He foreknew. That's okay. I can say it just like He said it.
Amen.
So, but He said a lot more than that.
That's right.
And if you have to start pushing some of it away so you can keep it like this, because this is a love letter. This is a love letter, and He's speaking between the lines.
Amen.
And He might say something over here, and it's a little soft because it's in a mixed audience. And He might say something over here, and it's really hard because it's only for one group. And that one group is able to take all of it and put it together and able to believe all of it.
Amen.
And so the bride, you are a free moral agency, and you are choosing every day whether you're going to serve Christ or whatever you're going to do. You can still make decisions that are not the best decisions. And because you're elect, He'll work that around.
Yes, sir.
To your benefit.
Yes, sir.
He'll work it around to your glory.
Mm-hmm.
But how did He describe that? He said, if you want to go the hard road, go ahead.
Yeah.
You can do things that you know are wrong. And if you're not a seed of God, it doesn't really matter. Because you're going to end up out there anyways. But if you're a son of God and you want to go the hard road, you got something you just want to do. Remember, you're in this here. You're dealing with this every day. You're making decisions whether you're going to please this or you're going to please Him. And so if you start leaning to this, He's not going to let His seed go. You're still a son of God. If you're a son of God. If you're a son of God. He's not going to let you buy with it.
That's right.
If you're not a son of God, you can get by with anything.
Yes, sir.
Because it doesn't apply to you.
Yes.
It only applies to the seed, the children of God.
Yes, sir.
And He's going to get you. And I thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to His lovely name. We're going to ask Michael to come. And we're going to sing a song before we go home. But let us stand together as we pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank You and praise You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You for revelation. We thank You, Lord, to know that You have placed us here on Free Moral Agency. Lord, that we could make the decisions, Lord, that we want. And Lord, You put a seed of life in us, and that's been quickened. And that has changed our desire from the things of the world, that our desires, we want to please You. And Lord, our full desire is to You. And Lord, help us day by day by day, Lord, to do only that, that we would have that harmony of the Father and the Son, of Jesus and You, Lord. And Father, help us, guide us, forgive us our shortcomings, our slack places, Lord. We thank You and praise You. May You bless each one. Be with Brother Goomba now. Lord, we see them preaching there, the pictures, Lord. It stirs our hearts. Lord, may just continue to give him strength and words of wisdom and guidance and much revelation, Lord. Just not to just the speaker, Lord, but to those that would be listening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, brother.
I know you enjoyed that.
Amen.
And tell you what, he could have kept preaching.
Yeah.
I could have called in late to work. Maybe not everybody could, but I'd have figured out something. I just told him, hey, I was at church all night. And so, go back and listen to what he's saying. We're not, I'm telling you. He is, he's saying so much. Seeing that course, what a mighty God we serve. Continue to remember those. Remember Brother Goomba in your prayers as he's beginning to travel. And so if you have a need to talk to somebody, the God's always available. We're always here for one another. So you just give us a phone call. We'll pray for you. We'll come sit down with you. We'll talk with you, whatever you have on your heart. So, Lord bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning.
Amen.